Please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And this evening we're going to look at verses 4 to verse 8. We've had two sermons, one sermon on verses 1 to 2 and another sermon on verse 3. And just to remind you of verses 1 to 2, it's a tremendous call to us, isn't it? The Apostle Paul is beseeching, pleading with the Romans by the mercies of God that they would offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, saying that this is their reasonable service. And I wonder if we're doing that. Am I doing that? Am I offering myself upon the altar? John MacArthur, when he was a student, he was going along a highway at a high speed with friends in a car, and he was flung out of the car, and he said he went numbers of yards, I don't know if it was 100 yards, down that motorway on his backside. And he said he came out alive, and he came out saying to God, "Lord, now I'm willing to place my life upon the altar." He said before then, he'd been leading a mediocre Christian life. He hadn't surrendered his will entirely to God. He hadn't said to the Lord, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go." And at that moment, being flung out of that car, on the side of the highway, he made a vow and he offered his life upon the altar to God. Now, as you go on in your Christian life, you know that you continually need to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. It's not just a one-off event. We need to continually progress, else we go backwards. And as you go on, the danger is the further you go on in the Christian life is the more complacent you become. And actually, you can start to think of yourself more highly than you ought. And in verse 3, Paul says this, "I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think." So he says to the Christians, don't overestimate yourselves. Don't have too high opinion of yourselves. Be sober. Think about yourself in the presence of God. Recognize your sin. Recognize your limitation. Don't underestimate yourself. Remember that you're a child of God. Remember the Holy Spirit dwells within you. But think soberly about yourself. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with character before he deals with gifts. He's going to go on to say, well, if you have the gift of teaching, teach. You have the gift of ministry, minister. If you have the gift of giving, well, give freely, liberally, cheerfully to the Lord. So he's going to talk about gifts. But before that, he says that the chief requirement for the Christian is this, that he lives a humble life, that he's not high-minded, that he doesn't have a high opinion of himself, because it's awful, isn't it, to have gifts and to use those gifts all in the wrong spirit. It seems to spoil the very gifts that you have. The Lord wants us to glorify him. He wants us to do everything for him, for his glory and for his honour. And so he wants us to think about ourselves aright in his presence. But we're going to look at verses 4 to 8. And here the Apostle Paul uses a common analogy. He speaks of the church as a body. And the Holy Spirit has inspired him to write in this way, not only here, but in 1 Corinthians 12, in other parts of the scripture, in Colossians. The church is referred to as a body. And here we read about the members of the body. And so we think about body parts. We think about an eye. We think about an ear. Think about a hand, we think about a foot, we think about a leg, we think about the body parts. It's saying, well, this is what the church is like. We're different members and we all have different functions, and there's a wide variety. Not everybody's a leg, not everybody's an eye. We have different personalities and different gifts, and we're to glorify God and praise him for the diversity that there is in the church of Jesus Christ. Remembering that Christ is the head of that body. He's the captain, he's the master, and we're all joined to him. So we're going to do three things this evening. We're going to look, first of all, at verse 4. We're all different, yet one. There's unity in diversity. We should never want to be clones. We should never want to be all the same. I'm sure we don't want to be. We should never, in any sense, be jealous of another person's gift. We should thank God for the gifts that they've been given. Praise God for the diversity. Remember that in that diversity, There's a tremendous unity as we all work together with the different spiritual gifts that God has given to us. So, first of all, verse 4, all different yet one. Secondly, in verse 5, we all belong. We are all needed. You see, we're told that we're members individually of one another. So we belong to Christ and we belong to one another. And nobody should say, I don't feel I belong to that body. No, we're actually in the body of Christ. We're in Christ and we are part of that body and we do belong. And there's much encouragement for us in that. And then verses 6 to 8, well, God has given us gifts and we're all to use those gifts. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy? Stir up the gift that is within you. Timothy had a gift. His was a special gift. He received it through the laying on of hands of the Apostle Paul. But he evidently had a problem. He was timid. And he had a tendency not to use the gift that had been given to him. Paul said to him, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Stir up the gift that is within you. And so this evening, this is also a call to us, whilst we're going to be encouraged to think we all belong to this wonderful church of Christ. It's also a challenge to us. You have been given gifts, so use the gifts that God has given to you. And every single believer has been given spiritual gifts. So first of all different yet one. Secondly, we all belong. Thirdly, we're all to use our gifts. So let's look at verse 4. All different yet one. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So many members in one body. Many different Christians, different believers, many individuals who've been born again by the Spirit of God. And we're all part of this one body. And we all have a unique contribution to make. If you think of the church as a lovely tapestry, well, a tapestry is made up of all sorts of different coloured threads. And if a few of those threads are missing, you notice it. It's beautiful when the whole tapestry is there complete with all the different colours. And that's what the church is. Every single member is needed. And there's a whole mix of colours, a whole mix of threads, a whole mix of people. And we're all called to shine together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the Apostle Paul goes on, he's going to speak in broad categories. He's not going to list every single gift that there is in the Church of Christ. He lists other gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but here he lists some of the main gifts, and they're in broad categories. So when he talks about the gift of ministry, which we're going to see is servanthood, that includes all sorts of gifts. Maybe a person has a human gift of being good in practical areas. Maybe they're good at fixing things, maintenance. That's a human gift. It's not a spiritual gift. But if they've got the gift of ministry, of servanthood, they're enabled to use that gift, that practical gift that they've got for the glory of God. Another person might have a musical gift. That's not a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift is the ministry, the servanthood. That's the spiritual gift. And so the natural gift, the musical gift, can be harnessed in the work of God as they use that for the service of God, serving the church of Jesus Christ. So we're going to see broad categories. Teaching, that mustn't just be confined to pulpit ministry. That's a very broad gift that covers many aspects of church life, both public and individual. Gift of giving. Some of these gifts that are mentioned here can be seen directly in the context of the church. Some can be way outside the church building, let's say. They're not gifts confined to an institution. The gifts that God has given to his church by the Spirit to be used in the community, amongst people, in this world. Some of them are public, some are more private. But we've all been given those gifts. And they're different. Did you notice in verse 4? It says this, the members do not have the same function. In other words, you're not expected to do what I'm doing, I'm not expected to do what you do, or vice versa. Within a congregation, we all have different functions. And there's a multiplicity of experiences within the church, isn't there? People have different levels of knowledge, different capacities, different personalities, different abilities. And God uses what you are. And he gives a spiritual capacity and a grace. And he uses you just as you are. Think of a snowflake. Every single snowflake is beautiful. Every single snowflake is different, is special, is unique. In one sense, we're all spiritual snowflakes. We all have different functions, complementary functions, but we're to use them for the Lord. And in using those gifts that God has given us, we bring honour and glory to God, and we beautify the church of Jesus Christ. Think of a normal body. Well, a body needs every part. If I didn't have eyebrows, you might think I'm a little bit ugly. Maybe you wouldn't. Or if I had a big, say my big toe and the nail was missing, that would be a defect, wouldn't it? A nail on a big toe is necessary for us. See, every part of the body is important, and every part has a function. And that's true in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, we must celebrate diversity. Christ is the head, and he is the one through his Spirit who has given gifts. And the gifts are for the maturing and the growth of the body. Ephesians 4, verse 16, Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body. You see, the church is to use another metaphor, is a house. There's living stones, and we've been built up, and we're growing up into a holy temple in the Lord. And there's to be progress, there's to be maturity. Another metaphor, with a bride of Christ. And we're being beautified by Christ, and we're being made fit for glory. And how does that happen? How is this growth and this progress? As every single member, every individual part of the body does its job, we're fitted together, we're held together, and we're to do that work that God has called us to do. Now, there's never, ever any room for boasting in the church. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For what makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? That's a lovely verse, isn't it? What makes you different from another person? Is there something special about you? Can you boast? Do you think you've got more gifts than another? Of course not. We ought to be humble. Nobody's better than another. We should actually say we're all the chief of sinners, and we should say that we're the least of all the saints. But what gifts we do have, there's no room for boasting. Because the gift has come from God. It's not come from us. It's not something about our natural ability. It's a spiritual gift given by the Lord. Also, it's very sinful, isn't it, to divide in the church over this area of gifting, to despise other people, to not value other people, to not want other people to use their gifts, to oppose other people, to dislike other people. That sort of thing is very sinful. Rather, we ought to say God has given lots of different people, lots of different gifts, and we just praise God for the gifts. We thank him for the diversity. Well, there's first of all unity and diversity, but secondly, verse 5, we all belong. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 4, it mentions the one body. In verse 5, it mentions the one body. We're part of the one body of Christ in the world. There's only one church. But we're also joined to an individual local church. where there's accountability. And we're accountable to one another. We're to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. And we ought to feel a sense of belonging to the local church. You see, the church isn't like a social club, is it? A social club a person goes along to. They get as much out of it as they can. They enjoy it whilst they're there. They come to the private of their own homes and they forget the social club. And they go along. Sometimes they're very keen to be on the committee. Sometimes they fight for a position. Sometimes they don't like the chairman on the committee, think that they can do a better job and wangle the situation so that they become the chairman. That's the world, isn't it? That's a social club. You just go for what you can get out of it. And enjoyment, friendship, but it's something you take or leave. The church isn't a social club. We're family. And we're a body. And we always belong to it. When we're in our homes, we remember our brothers and sisters. We pray for them. It's not just coming along to a service. We feel that we have a duty to one another. We feel that we ought to serve one another. We feel that we ought to help the young people. We feel that we ought to help the older people. We feel that we ought to look out for one another. We feel that we ought to ring somebody up. We feel that we ought to serve in a greater capacity because we feel that we belong. The scripture says we're individually members of one another. Can you imagine a physical body and the toe saying, I'm not part of this body, or the hand saying, I'm not part of this body? No, the very fact that they are part of the body means they are a part of the body. And the very fact that we're born again and we've been given a new heart and we've been grafted into this wonderful body of Christ cannot be changed. And that's a glorious thing. We belong. And so when you say, but I don't feel I belong, well, do several things. Remember, first of all, that you are a child of God and you do have brothers and sisters and you do belong. Then ask yourself, why do you feel that you don't belong? Is it because you haven't yourself committed yourself, or you're standing off and you're expecting? Why is it that you don't feel that you belong? Is it that you're not looking favourably at your brothers and sisters? Is it that you expect too much from them? Is it that you've taken your eyes off of the head of the body, Christ? We do belong, but let's keep our eyes upon him. And when some members of the body aren't functioning properly, well, look to the head and ask the head to rectify that. If there's a hand that's no longer got the grip and the strength and you can see a person in a church going wobbly and struggling, well, pray to the head. Maybe come alongside and help if you can. But remember, we all belong. And then verses 6 to 8. Use your gifts. And that's the thrust of this passage. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, a well-known preacher, he says this: every believer receives a correct measure of spiritual gifts, the exact gift and resources best suited to fulfill his role or her role in the body. Every person has his own special but limited capabilities. And that's true, isn't it? Look at this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Grace has been given to each one of us. And we're to use those gifts. Now somebody might say, but I don't know what my gifts are. Somebody might say, I've even been on a course. I've been in a church and they had a course to discover what are your spiritual gifts. I've even filled out a questionnaire. I've been online, I've tried to find out what my gifts are, and I'm still confused over it. Well, there's some basic questions, aren't there? Well, what do you love doing for the Lord? What are you good at? It may be simple things. What are your leanings towards? Don't worry so much about the gift. Don't focus so much upon the gift. Look to the giver. In what ways do you want to serve him? What ways do you want to please him? In what ways do you feel that you can by his strength? John MacArthur had somebody coming to him and saying, I'm really troubled, I don't know what my gifts are. And he said, forget all about that. He said, don't think about yourself. Your gifts are what you are as a person. You're a child of God. You've been given graces. The gifts, in one sense, are about what you are as a person. Just function in the Church of Christ as you are. And John MacArthur's policy was this, as he was, the church was beginning to grow. When somebody came to him and said, I think, John, we ought to have a Tate ministry in the church. He said, I can't do any more that I'm doing. But, as God has given you this desire, have you ever thought that it might be you? And that person ended up doing a wonderful Tate ministry, another person in another area. And he said people have stopped coming to him because every time they come to him, he says, maybe you're the one to do it. What are you good at? It's hard, isn't it, to analyse ourselves. Perhaps we ought to ask other people who are close to us and they can help us in it. But we all have spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's tremendous, isn't it? There's a manifold grace of God towards you. Multiform, multicoloured. And it's for all of the church. And you have a gift, and so use the gift. Minister it. Don't bury it. Don't think, somebody else could do that. And so you forfeit the blessing of serving. But also realise your limitations. If we try to do things that clearly we're not gifted at, and people are telling us so, we become frustrated. We struggle. We can start to have guilty feelings about ourselves. We want to do it, but we can't really do it. We're pushing ourselves to do something, but really that's not our area. And we're not prepared to listen to others. And often it ends up in spiritual defeat. So we do need to listen to others, listen to leaders. Now God gives ability. Tremendous in 1 Peter 4 verse 10. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, he's to do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory forever and ever. In other words, we're to minister with the ability that God supplies. Often you'll find that you maybe it's evangelism, you have a heart for somebody, but you're thinking, how on earth can I speak to that person? I don't even know the words I'm going to say. I'm struggling, but I have compassion. And as you step out, God gives you an ability. He helps you. He gives you wisdom. We're to do it with the ability that God supplies. So use the gifts that have been given to you. Now let's then look at these gifts that are mentioned here. We read of public gifts. We read of several teaching gifts and speaking gifts. We read of other gifts that are practical gifts. And in the church, you're to expect that. There'll be those who have the gift of preaching, of teaching, publicly or privately speaking gifts. There'll be others that have very practical gifts. Showing mercy, serving others, giving. And so an important thing for us is this, is never confine the church to the church program. And say, but I'm not in the church program somewhere. I'm not on the agenda somewhere. My name isn't written up and I haven't got a key role or responsibility in the church. It's not like that. It's not meant to be like that. Yes, we can have a recognised role or not, but you see, many of these gifts go outside of the programme and go outside of the walls of the church. Was the gift of a ministry, which means servanthood, meant to just confine itself to the church? That goes a long way, that gift. Was the gift of mercy only meant to be somebody who in the church was recognised as the great merciful one? Of course not. We don't give a title and a name to every. A person may have a tremendous compassion and love for poor and needy people. They have no role in that, no title. But under God, they've been given a tremendous gift to bless others inside and outside of the church. Many Christians are frustrated. They say, but I've got nothing to do in my church, because they've never understood what the gifts are all about. John MacArthur would say to somebody, and his church is a large church where there are lots of people who have teaching roles. But yes, if you have the gift of teaching, and there seems to be no space, well, call your neighbours, he said, call your family, gather them all into your home, teach them all that you know, all these people are ignorant, pass it on. Don't feel restricted. So then let's look at these gifts. First of all, prophecy. In New Testament terms, there were prophets and apostles. Prophets, some of them were foundational to the church of Jesus Christ. And so the church is built on the teaching of the apostles and prophets. They received direct revelation from the Lord. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, but they laid the doctrinal foundation. We have no longer any of these apostles and prophets. They no longer exist. They were there to give us the holy scriptures. And for these prophets, there was a directness, a revelation that they received from the Lord, because many of these churches, they didn't have the New Testament. And so, well, they didn't have the New Testament at all complete. They had a few odd letters. But revelation was being given. Now some of the prophets, the majority of them, they foretold the word of God. Thus says the Lord. They were inspired and they preached and they proclaimed that word. Afterwards came in the teachers and they would explain the word of God. But the prophets were public proclaimers. There were those prophets with a big capital P, but there was also other prophets. Acts chapter 2, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You find in the book, Church of Corinth, that there were ladies who prophesied. You read chapter 11, they had to do so with a veil. You read chapter 14 about prophets in the church. But they received this revelatory gift, inspired by God, and they passed on the message. We have to be very careful today if people seek to repeat that. And they wait in a meeting, waiting for the Spirit to come. And they stand up and they say, I have a word from the Lord. Well, we don't need that. We have the word of God already. But we do need proclaimers of the word of God. In one sense, we could say the prophetic ministry continues as the word of God is proclaimed. And that's a gift given by God to build up his church. I'd like to skip here the gift of ministry and come back to it. But let's say this prophecy is public proclamation of the word of God. Prophecy isn't an individual private thing. It was public. He who prophesied to men, plural. But then teaching is different. Teaching is the explanation of the word. It's making it clear, making it understandable. It requires great study. Timothy was told to study the word of God that he might be approved, an approved worker of God. It requires close attention to the word of God. It's a systematic teaching, the word of God. Elders should have that gift to be able to teach the word of God. But you know, this teaching gift here isn't confined just to elders. Yes, elders are those who ought to teach in the church. But there are ladies who teach other ladies. There are ladies who teach children. There are men in families who teach their children. There's all sorts of ways that we teach the word of God privately. We teach another person the word of God, whether we're male or female. And that's a gift. A gift of being able to explain the word of God. And let's pray that that gift would be extended more and more to others. In the Old Testament, that's that desire. Oh, that all the people of God, Moses says, were prophets. We would say, well, oh, that all of God's people were teachers of the word of God. But then there's another gift here, another speaking gift, Exhortation. The Greek word is parakleo, coming alongside. What's this? Well, if prophecy is proclaiming truth, if teaching is explaining truth, exhortation is encouraging and urging obedience to the truth. I wonder if you've got that gift of stirring another person up to obey God's word. You've got that desire to prompt another person, whether by words of encouragement, it can be, by words of warning and admonition. But you love to come alongside people or come alongside the church and give it a word of exhortation. We need exhorters, don't we? We need people who come just at the right time to give the right word to us individually or as a church to stir us up to obedience. These people can often seem very direct, but when they do it with the grace and the humility of Christ, we know that it's a word from God for us. There are exhorters. Let's return now to ministry. It's a little bit dangerous when we say that man's gone into the ministry and he is now called a reverend or a minister. This word here, ministry, isn't thinking of the ministry as such. The word is diakonos, from where we get the word deacon from. Servanthood. Who has the gift of servanthood? If you have the gift of servanthood, you have the gift of ministry. And they're saying here, because these are different gifts, some have a special gift of servanthood. Yes, we're all called to be servants. We're all called to minister one to another. But some have a special gift where they can especially support others. They have a tremendous willingness just to do. A tremendous desire. And they do it humbly. They do it quietly. But they work for the Lord. If you have the gift of ministry, minister. That can mean all sorts. It can be quietly cleaning the church, looking after children in a creche, fixing maintenance, visits of people, letters, but writing is your whole disposition. Servanthood. I want to be there. I love helping. I love coming alongside. I just love doing the work of God. I want to see God's people helped. And that's a gift that God has given, ministry. Let's quickly go on. It speaks, we're going to finish now, just a few more gifts. It speaks now of the gift of giving. Now, the word used here isn't the normal word that's used for giving in the Greek. It's a different word, metadidos, which is a special gift of giving, an unusual gift of giving. The Macedonian church had it. In 2 Corinthians 8, we read that they gave out of their poverty beyond measure. In other words, this church, they went beyond the norm. They gave superabundantly. They had the gift of giving. It says here, if you have the gift of giving, do it with liberality, or it can be translated with simplicity. You're giving cheerfully, liberally, but you're giving with a single heart, because you want to bless the person you're giving to. Some people have that gift, and I don't want to mention things, but sometimes you see it in the church and you know things maybe that others don't know, and people have just done something and it astounds you and it rebukes you. You think, well, I don't know if I would have done that. And they've just done it so freely and so liberally. Some of us might think, well, we are, God willing, soon going to have a trainee minister as the Lord provides. Some might be thinking, well, where will the money come from? But you know, there are those who have the gift of giving. And we trust the Lord. And the Lord is well able to supply all of our needs. And then the gift of leadership here. Those who are called maybe to steer the ship. Those who are the elders of the church. But then the deacons also, they're leaders in the church. Why are they leaders? Well, they're told that they ought to be able to manage their own affairs, manage their own households well. And as they manage their own households well, the parallel is they help to manage the church of God. They're managers with a small m. They help to organize, make sure that things are well-oiled, efficient. They're servants of God. They're leaders. Leaders prepare. They organise, they plan, they execute. It's a bit like the gift in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, the gift of administration. These are spiritual gifts. And the leadership gift isn't confined only to elders and deacons. There can be those who work amongst children, youth, young people, the elderly, ladies group, and they have a leadership gift within that. Well, if a person has the gift of leadership, the Holy Spirit says they're to be diligent in that. What does that mean? It means hard work, giving of your best, praying, working hard. And then the gift of mercy. This is a lovely gift, isn't it? He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We have people who bless others in this way. We have people who are needy. But there are some who have a special gift of compassion for the poor and needy. Some who have a great compassion for those in need, those in dire straits. And so they say, I'll go with you, Andrew Carey Jones. I'll go into the centre with you because the Lord has given me that compassion in my heart. There are others who say, I want to phone up Dave Lewis and I want to go into the prisons with him. I'm concerned for these prisoners. They have the gift of mercy. It's a special gift. We ought to all be merciful. But there are some who are given a gift of mercy. And if they're given that gift, they're to do it with cheerfulness. The word in the Greek is hilaros, from where we get our word hilarious. In other words, though the work may be difficult, because when you work with people who are in misery, some of these people are miserable, and it can make you feel miserable. And then when they're in burdens and it's hard to come alongside, and you feel the burden of it, you can feel weighed down and low, but the apostle says, no, it is a hard work showing mercy. But do it with a cheerful spirit. And so ends the list that the apostle Paul gives. It's not an exhausted list, but it includes a great numbers of areas in church life. And within those broad categories, there are all sorts of levels, all sorts of degrees. There's a multiplicity of usefulness within those broad categories. And so the Lord would say to you and to me, stir up the gift that is within you. Do not neglect it. Do not forfeit a blessing. Find your niche and serve the Lord with all your heart. Remember, we're all different, yet we're one. Remember that we all belong. And remember that God has called us to use our gifts for his glory. Amen.